God has an embassy on earth. It's called the church, and it's supposed to be where the values of heaven are located.
Dr. Tony Evans says believers are God's ambassadors. We're to let earth see what heaven thinks and how heaven wants to operate.
That's why the Lord's prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The Lord taught us to pray that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. But Dr. Evans says God makes that heaven-to-earth connection through us. Let's join him as he explains.
Communities are filled with grocery stores. They are repositories of food. We take advantage of grocery stores because what they offer is essential for our physical well-being. So we want the facility, we want the repository, but what we want the repository to offer has to be substantive, nutritional, and beneficial. A repository is a container, it's a storehouse. The repository for our medicine is the pharmacy. It is the place we go that houses that which we need for health and healing. You go to the records building downtown, which is a repository of information about people and locations and history. You have a repository. God has a repository, a storehouse, if you will, a community location for your spiritual well-being, a place where you're supposed to be able to go to get good food. Amen, amen. A place where you're supposed to go, be able to go and eat well. He has a place scattered throughout every community for health, healing, and well-being, not only of the people who attend, but because of its location, for the people who live in surrounding vicinity. It is the repository of truth. And God's repository of truth is called the church. Amen. The church is that place he has singled out that does not find its first obligation in the culture, that does not find its first obligation to a person's racial identity, cultural identity, gender identity, where the commitment is not first to who you are, how you were raised, or how you live, where you live. It is a repository that is supposed to give you good food, not rotten fruit, because it is committed to one overarching issue, and that is the declaration of the truth. The church is God's spiritual grocery store. This is what Paul says to Timothy, his son in ministry, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. "I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you soon. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." Timothy is located in a very secular city, the creme de la creme site of Asia Minor called Ephesus. A church has been established there. We'll give it a name, Ephesus Bible Fellowship. And Timothy is the pastor there, and Paul, his spiritual head, writes him, and he says, "Young man, I want to make sure that when people come to your grocery store, they're coming to the truth." Ephesus is a secular culture. It is full of idolatry. You can read it all in Acts chapter 19. It is full of materialism. It is full of witchcraft. It is full of errant theology, errant teaching, and social decay, even though it is an influential marketplace of ideas. And he says, and all the stuff that the folks are hearing, Timothy, and all the the ideas, ideologies, idiosyncratic perspectives that they are imbuing into their minds in spite of what the kids are being taught in school or the young adults are being taught in college, in spite of what they're hearing in corporate America, in spite of what they're hearing in the governmental regimes, in spite of all of that, you make sure when they shop at this store, they're getting the truth. Now, we've defined the word truth. Truth is God's absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth sits outside of you. It is not dependent on you. You don't have to feel it, like it, or agree with it for it to be true. Amen. It just has to be what God says. Amen. Then it's true. And you and I, we have to adjust. We live in a world that doesn't want God's viewpoint, therefore it doesn't want the truth. Because it doesn't want the truth, what we wind up with is cultural consequences in our personal lives, family lives, church lives, and in our civic engagement. And yet God wants to speak truth into all of those issues, personally, economically, socially, racially, morally. He wants to speak the truth. And so he tells Timothy in a number of places, you make sure this grocery store is well stocked with truth. He tells him in chapter 1, verse 3, I urge you, because some folks are going to come with strange doctrines. He tells him in chapter 3, verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Why? Because chapter 4, verse 1, there are deceitful spirits and demons. Verse 3, who don't know the truth. We're living in a duped society. We have been duped. And because we are living duped lives in a duped world with duped thought, we're living in a chaotic environment. He says, at this grocery store, Timothy, you make sure that when they go shopping, when they show up, we can't change everything in society, but you make sure they are hearing the truth, meaning God's view on whatever the subject matter happens to be. Then when we talk about critical race theory, all of this conflict is because the truth about race has been abandoned. And it becomes whatever you feel it is at that given moment. And if somebody of a different race feels about it different than you do, then they're going to react to you different and vice versa. And it's not like God has not spoken on this subject and he has not stuttered. Amen. He's very clear on this issue. But because we have turned race into an idol, God has been kicked to the curb on the subject. The first thing we need to remind you of, since the church is the grocery store of the truth, we need to remind us all what the church is. It's not a fraternity or a sorority. Yes, it has those relational components. In fact, it's called the family in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, treat the older men like fathers, the older women like mothers, the younger women like sisters, the younger men like brothers. He says, yes, it is a familial environment, but it is a familiar environment to equip people with God's point of view. The Bible knows nothing of an unchurched Christian. There's no such thing. Person says, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You're absolutely right. You become a Christian by faith alone in Christ alone. But you don't have to go home to be married, but stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. God has determined that the church would be the environment where people would shop, so to speak, and be attached and not be spiritual orphans. What often people want the church for is what our teenagers want. They want to stay in their room until it's time to eat. But then they want to know what's for dinner. So when people have problems, they have chaos, they want to marry, they want to bury, they will call on the church, not understanding that you and I are vital parts of something much bigger. when he created the church. Many of folk treat church like membership at a gym. You're a member, you just never go. And it shows up in your body parts. You got your membership, you're on the roll, but you just drive by it on your way to McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you wonder why you're spiritually flabby. Because the spiritual workout is not taking place. To be part of the church is a commitment to be identified and dynamically involved with a local body of believers who are learning to live kingdom lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's identity and involvement. It's not just sitting, soaking, and sorrowing. It's serving a king and his kingdom, like our servicemen and servicewomen serve the kingdom of the United States of an army, whatever branch they're in. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as his church. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give the church the keys to the kingdom. God doesn't skip the church house to fix the White House. He doesn't skip his grocery store if the culture wants to eat right.
When Dr. Evans returns in a moment, he'll talk more about how God will build his church. But first, I want to tell you about our featured resource for this month, Tony's brand new book, Kingdom Values. It's a powerful, in-depth study of the character traits we need to pursue in order to keep our hearts, homes, churches, and neighborhoods secure in the truth while the culture around us attempts to rewrite reality. Visit TonyEvans.org today to request Kingdom Values, and we'll send it to you along with our thanks when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. And right now, as an added bonus, we'll even include all 8 full-length messages in his current series, Returning to the Truth. All the details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org. We also have team members standing by in our Resource Center to help you. Just call 1-800-800-3222 any time of the day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's lesson after this.
It was my first time meeting Jesus in the Bible. That's what one student is saying after studying bibliology through the Tony Evans Training Center, taught by renowned theologian Dr. Tony Evans. These online courses feature compelling and exclusive video and audio teaching, plus an interactive scripture-based curriculum you can access online or through the mobile app. Sign up now at TonyEvansTraining.org. Take a course with Dr. Evans and explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere. TonyEvansTraining.org.
He says, I will build my church. Let me talk about that for a moment. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. It was a famous word in New Testament days because it referred to a legislative body. Church was the word meant a legislative body. So city council or Congress here, or if you're in England, Parliament. It was a legislative body. That's why in Acts 19 it's used of a court that was legislating against the church, but he uses the word ekklesia, the Greek word for church. Well, Jesus uses that word. So to understand what the church is, let's use an embassy. America has embassies all around the world. In every major country that's recognized, we have an embassy there. An embassy is a little bit of America a long way from home. If you're in a foreign country, you get in trouble, you want to cross that embassy gate because you're now in America. In the embassy, the laws of America rule. Not the laws of the country it's in, it's the laws of the country it's from. All embassies are sovereign territory. They don't belong to that country. They belong to the country it represents. God has an embassy on earth. It's called the church, and it's supposed to be where the values of heaven are located in the location of history. Where earth can see what heaven thinks, how heaven views it, how heaven wants to operate by it, how heaven wants to address it, but it's located on foreign soil called earth, even though it gets its information from the originating country called heaven. Amen. That's why the Lord's prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our job as the church is not to repeat earth. It's to inform earth about what heaven thinks on every subject matter. Because as we've said, without the truth, you don't get God no matter how much you pray. Because he's God of the truth. And so he says, I will give the church, in Matthew 18, the keys to the kingdom. Now, what do you do with a key? You ever been in a hurry and not been able to find your keys? I mean, you're not going nowhere. Or maybe you're like me, you got a lot of keys on your keychain, and some of them you don't even know what they open anymore. They become useless keys. He says, I'm going to give the church the keys, that's access to me, have keys of the kingdom of heaven, and if they use my keys, I will give them my authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He says, I am going to give you my authority on earth because you're using the keys that belong to me in heaven. So how can we have all these churches on all these corners with all these programs, all these members, all these leaders, all these preachers, and still have all this mess? There's a dead monkey on the line somewhere. How can you have 11 o'clock on Sunday morning being the most segregated hour in America and people still using Jesus' name and calling themselves the church? Why? Well, because we're using wrong keys. We got cultural keys, racial keys, gender keys. What we don't use are kingdom keys. He says, and the way you know you're being the church is the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Hell can't stop you. So if you know hell can't stop you, humans can't stop you. Because you're using keys that belong to a whole nother order. And those keys have to do with God's view on the whatever the subject happens to be. So he says that we are to represent him as his kingdom people. And over again in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, Jesus is head of the church and we are his body to carry his viewpoint, he says, to fill everything. That's why we want each of you to become a kingdom disciple who is a kingdom servant that makes a kingdom impact. If you're a lawyer, you're not just a lawyer. You're God's representative in the Bar Association, so the Bar Association sees what God looks like when God tries a case. If you're a doctor, you're not just a doctor. You're God's representative in the medical field, so the medical field sees what God looks like when God helps hurting people. If you are a teacher, you're not just a teacher. You're God's representative in the classroom, so the classroom sees what God looks like when God teaches truth. You are to represent in every sphere of life the kingdom of God with the truth. He says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, God checks with the church before he deals with the principalities and the powers. So if you're trying to deal with the principalities and the powers, and God says, I'm not going to skip you to help them. I'm going to start with you. Because if I can't get you straight, they sure not going to listen to me. And so he says to Timothy, Timothy, you make sure the people who come to this grocery store, this food place spiritually, are people who understand the church. That you're not just showing up for a service once a week or twice a week. You're learning how to live out a divine frame of reference in all of life. And how do you do it? Well, he says the church, how one ought to conduct himself, because that has to do with how you're living. In the household of God, he calls the church a family, a household. And then he says, the church of the living God. I hope everybody understands God is alive. Okay? The church of the living God. So we're not just out here talking smack and talking up in Never Never Land and fairy dust. He is the living God. And then he says, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and support of the truth. Amen. Okay. Now you have to understand what's going on here. Remember I told you, Timothy is pastoring Ephesus Bible Fellowship. If you were living in biblical days and you went to Ephesus, everybody would be talking about one thing. Because located in Ephesus was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was called the Temple of Artemis, or the Temple of Diana. It was one of the seven wonders of the then known world. People came from all around the world to see this massive tribute and statue to the goddess of all gods, Diana or Artemis. When you read Acts chapter 19, you will see they built a whole economy around Artemis, because that was like, you know, going on vacation to some awesome, like people going to Italy to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and they got all the artifacts surrounding it, and people would buy and sell. It became a place of economic development and economic impact. So it was a beast. That's why you went there. Well, in the Temple of Diana, they had 100 pillars. You know, the pillar in a building, you know, it's holding up the roof. It comes from the floor and holds up the roof. This thing was so massive, it had 100 pillars sitting on the foundation to carry it up to the rooftop. So Paul didn't just choose that word. He's talking to Timothy in Ephesus. And he says, they got pillars to a lie. Read Acts 19. They believe in the wrong thing and are giving it worship. They're worshiping the wrong thing. And this hot mess we done got ourselves into as a nation is because we got folk worshiping the wrong thing and building pillars to it. It's 100 pillars, and everybody's coming to Artemis. And he says, no. You build a pillar in the church to the truth. He says, the pillar and foundation, you lay the groundwork for the truth and you build up people's lives, the pillar of their life, the pillar of their family, the pillar of their culture, the pillar of their society. You build up things based on the truth, not based on the pursuit of a lie. It is the ground, he says, and pillar of the truth. He says, because we want men to operate differently. The conduct, he says, that men know how to conduct themselves. He says, Timothy, you make sure when they show up, they hear the truth. They hear it with clarity. They hear it with love, but they hear the truth.
Dr. Tony Evans, bringing to a close the first part of a message he calls the Repository of Truth. You'll have more revelation on this topic for us tomorrow. You can request the full-length version of this message as a standalone lesson or as part of his 8-message set, Returning to the Truth. As I mentioned earlier, we'll send this entire collection to you as our gift in appreciation for your contribution to The Alternative. Your investment in Tony's ministry is the only way we can continue investing in your spiritual growth through his teaching and resources. And as an added thank you, you'll get it along with the brand new book I told you about earlier, Kingdom Values. Visit TonyEvans.org to make your contribution and request today. While you're there, check out our huge collection of resources, audio, video, print, and more, for adults, teens, and even children. Right now, almost all the resources we offer are 41% off in celebration of our ministry's 41st birthday. But these special offers are only available for the remainder of this week, so don't wait. Visit us today at TonyEvans.org. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are always ready to help. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. People often look forward to attending church for the singing, the preaching, the community, and fellowship. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will remind us there's another purpose for the church that's absolutely critical to our world. The connection the church provides the here and now with heaven and eternity. Be sure to join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.